Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Westex Safety Hour hosted by Chris Perkins. My name is Fatima, and I'm your event manager. During the presentation, your lines will remain on listen only. If you require assistance at any time, please press star zero on your telephone, and a coordinator will be happy to assist you. I would like to advise all parties this conference call is being recorded. And now I would like to hand over to Chris. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Fatima, and good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Westex Safety Hour. For those of you that don't know me, I'm the Westex Route Head of Business Change. I've been in post since the beginning of September when we reshaped the alliance. And part of my day-to-day role is to manage the Delta program, which hopefully you're all familiar with. But since the beginning of September, we've included other things in the portfolio like accommodation strategy, and we've included the operations part of the business. And we're now the focal point for all of the national programs in terms of change they're trying to deliver. So that's a bit about me, but the reason I'm on the line today is to talk to you about the Safety Hour. I hope that most of you have had the opportunity to log into the safety blog, because an update on in terms of our performance is shown there, and also some good material in terms of what we should be considering during the call. So without further ado, our performance this week has been really excellent in terms of safety hour attendance. We've logged 75% across the business, which is a bit higher than the target that we set ourselves, a fraction lower than last week, and probably in line with where I know Pretty and the work the safety team are doing and looking to get us to by the end of the year. So thank you very much indeed for your participation. Also in terms of performance, close calls. We've had another really excellent week. Clearly we had quite a relatively quiet time for close calls over the Christmas period, but we've got everybody back focused on this, which is really good news. More than just the weekly performance, I think what's really helpful is to reflect on the fact that during the course of this year alone, we've had over 3,500 close calls reported, which clearly means that there's as a consequence, significantly less risk for us and our workforce and our passengers as a consequence. So well done on that. In terms of safety conversations, we plan to have 8 this period, and I'm pleased to say that we've actually managed to conduct 9, so slightly above target. However, it does slightly hide the background picture, which is that we intended this year as a route to do 240 safety conversations, and we're significantly below that. So my message to you is please conduct the safety conversations because they're vitally important to improving safety for all of us. You'll also notice, that for those of you who have been onto the blog, no lost time injuries this week, which is fantastic news. For those of you who regularly dial in, and I know Ben covered this last week, there have been a significant number of lost time injuries in the past 2 weeks in particular. So it's excellent that this week we don't have those to report upon. As a consequence then, I'm just going to focus on the areas which are raised on the safety blog. A couple relate to the OR prohibition notice. I'm going to go through the IP Southern's weekly safety update because there's some useful material in there. And then there's two suggested discussions for you to have with your teams. One is about cyber security, and one is on the important subject of close calls. So what I'm going to do is just move on to the first couple of items, which is the ORR prohibition notice. It applies to the MC3 grinding machine, and it was issued last Friday on the 22nd of January. In essence, the notice comes as a consequence of an ORR inspection. It was actually conducted at the Cardiff DU, where the ORR team saw that the frog grinder, although it had 4 handles fitted, and therefore was essentially designed for manual lifting using 4 people, essentially because it weighs over 100 kilos, they observed just 2 people lifting the machine. So as a consequence, they've issued the prohibition notice, which essentially means that all contractors and work sites need to comply with the notice, and I need to only use 4 people, a minimum of 4 people, going forward. What's also attached on the blog is quite a helpful submission from the Anglia route, and what they've done is they've analysed the cause of the the prohibition notice, and they've introduced a solution which is looking at all of their plants, and they're going to fit stickers to them which provide absolute clarity as to how the equipment should be used. So in the second attachment, it's a presentation which shows the stickers that indicate either a two-man lift or a four-man lift. And they're going through an assessment to see which of their plants require to be fitted to bring absolute clarity. So again, within the presentation, they provide some examples. So there's the Iron Man is shown there, and there's the light generator. And what I've done is, I've, in advance of this call, I've spoken to Ivan, and we agreed that this is a useful initiative. And so what we'll do as a route is to look to apply this where it's appropriate onto our machinery. So more details of that to follow, but that's a helpful solution to a helpful response to that prohibition notice. Next up, we've got the IP Southern regional safety update, and this is from last Wednesday, the 20th of January. And there's a number of incidents here which is helpful for us to reflect upon. And the first one was the loading of a Hiab lorry, actually took place at the Borough Green depot. And the work being undertaken was essentially to load a series of lamp columns. It turned out that the columns were not slung correctly, and so as a consequence, when they were lifted, they fell to the ground. Fortunately, no one was injured in this case, but those of you who've looked at the update, you can see there's a substantial spillage of the lamp columns off the side of the lorry, and somebody could easily have been hurt. It sort of came to rest against the side of a porter cabin. So key thing to remember there is clearly when we have undertaking a lifting operation, to make sure that we've got the suitable lifting plan in place and that the appropriate securing has been done before we start to lift. Also there's an update on reducing the risk of soil nails. These have essentially been eliminated by employing a new type of soil nail at the Ashdown Way embankment. On the Cambridge North station, one of our operatives had an injury which was caused by the pinching of his hand by two polystyrene blocks when they were installing a new platform at that station. As a consequence, he had to go to hospital and his finger was placed in a splint. So the clear thing there is to make sure that we understand and we communicate clearly when we're lifting such materials. Also within the safety bulletin, we've got the fact that we're seeing the adoption of the drug and alcohol testing as part of the HSE induction within the Wessex Capacity Alliance. And what this essentially do is going to formalise people, regardless of who their employer is or what role they're coming into, that they'll all be tested during the course of their induction. In terms of that, I mean, clearly ensuring that our workforce are free from drugs and alcohol when they conduct work is vitally important. And so what we can see here is during the past 7 months, we've had significantly over 700 tests conducted. And to date, only seven of our staff have been stopped from working as a consequence. Four of those were as a consequence of the abuse of cannabis, two for cocaine, and one was an instance where the medication that they were taking at the time was stronger than it needed to be for the condition that they had. So the consequence of that, I'm delighted to say, is that seven people who either could have caused damage to themselves or could have caused an accident involving others essentially have been prevented from being at risk. So that's extremely good news going forward. Unfortunately, also within the update, we've got news of an operative, Ian Walker, who, although not working on a railway project, was working on the third Don crossing in Aberdeen, up in the Scotland route. And at the time of that work being undertaken, essentially a 14-ton wheel excavator was refuelling, and having refuelled, the cab was slewed essentially to 180 degrees. and tragically Ian was trapped between the counterweight and the fuel tank. I think clearly investigations are underway, but it really does remind us of the dangers that are associated with moving plant. Also on the safety thing, the key issue of scour, particularly after the really torrential rain that the UK has been experiencing in recent weeks, there's the reported instance of a viaduct in Scotland, the Lamington Viaduct, which when it was recently examined, it was found that half a ton block of sandstone had been dropped out of one of the piers, and that a substantial crack had appeared. It's well over 2 metres long in terms of the pier. So as a consequence of that loss of support, the crack had actually dropped by 150 millimetres. So the point we need to realise here is the importance of the post-flooding and scour inspections on our structures. Also of interest is the final point from the safety bulletin is a bit of best practice, which has looked at the electrical circular source. This is battery powered. It's been used quite successfully at Tottenham Court Road. The upgrade was going through there for Crossrail, and it's safer to use because it reduces the risk of spillage, and it also is quieter to operate. So again, there's the benefits for both safety and for public relations as a consequence of that. So that's the IP7 safety update, which hopefully focuses our mind on some key issues at the moment. And then finally, I've got two discussion packs. The first one, as I mentioned, is all about ensuring that we operate in a very secure way, and therefore we retain our safety both on the individual and the company levels. All of you will be very familiar with the fact that we live in a very digital world, and therefore we operate systems which are typically connected, which means that a breach into one part of the organisation very rapidly spreads. So what the discussion pack really focuses on is not just the personal impact, but also the consequence of a lack of security on the operation of the railway. Clearly, one of my responsibilities as head of business changes is to look after business continuity, and so this is a subject which is particularly close to my heart. When we open up the lines, it'll be interesting to hear that anybody on the call has had any instances of cyber attack, whether they've had their identity stolen, whether they've had any breaches themselves as a consequence of insecurity elsewhere. So the discussion pack is very helpful. It kind of brings to life what is quite a sort of an abstract concept, and I'd encourage you to have this conversation with your teams. Specifically, it looks at how we can look at personal risks, so how we can remain safe, whether online, whether it be at work or at home, and how we can behave safely, so ensuring that we, for instance, don't lose or don't expose our passwords or anything that we can do with our identity. Second area of discussion is all about the risks that our colleagues face. So things like locking the screen of our laptops or our computers, making sure we don't leave mobile devices unattended, and particularly in busy mixed occupancy offices, making sure that people don't sneak in behind you, sort of their so-called tailgating, to get onto the premises when they don't have the appropriate security passes. And then finally, what risks are there to the railway? So that there's a section within the discussion framework which looks at ways in which we can protect very very sensitive and high-risk systems like our signalling systems, etc., by following simple but really important IT practices. And what's interesting is that recently Network Rail carried out a simulated phishing scam, and whilst with cyber security in the round, we tend to kind of think it's things that happen to other people. Other people have their identity stolen, and it's not going to happen to us. Interestingly, as a consequence of this this exercise, we found that 20% of the people in this simulated scam actually fell for it. So please just don't always think it's going to happen to somebody else, because it's going to happen to somebody. Finally, there's quite a helpful video that's attached to this discussion pack. A chap called Norm had a particularly bad day, and I think it accurately portrays the fact that whilst in a calm and considered way we don't generally infringe our security, but when things become a little bit tense and you're late for trains, etc., you can cut corners which can really compromise our individual and collective security. So I recommend that discussion pack to you. It brings cyber security to life. And then the final one is all about close calls. It's an interesting take on close calls in so much as it's not necessarily encouraging us to make more close calls. It's making sure that the ones that we do make are appropriately detailed, they're accurate, and they're timely. So it's clearly been put together because the NSC call centre, who handle all of the close calls that we make, feel that the way in which we submit them can be improved. At the moment, they tend to spend time sort of calling people back just to clarify information. And if we can not only report good numbers, but also good quality close calls, that's got to be a really good thing. They focus on some specific areas. The first one, of course, is quality. It's looking at things like the geographical location to help locate the close call itself. It's physical location, and then to describe the problem. And if you're able to close the call out yourself, then there's a suggested practice there. And then also, if you are local to where the close call has been reported, if you know locally who the best person to solve that problem, again, including that detail, would be really helpful to the operatives. And then there's some recent examples of how close calls can be improved. So finally then, if you work in part of an organisation which is perhaps a bit reticent for its staff to deliver close calls, there's quite a helpful presentation which is attached to the bottom of that discussion pack, which just takes us through the process and gives us some suggestions in terms of how we can improve. Okay, so those are all the items that I wanted to cover. So time is now approaching sort of 5 to 1. Fatima, is it okay if we open up the lines for any questions or any comments that we have?
Yes, indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, your question and answer session will now begin. If you wish to ask a question, please press star then 1 on your telephone, record your name, then press the hash key. If you then decide to remove your question, simply press star 2. All questions will be answered in the order received, and you will be advised when to ask your question. All other lines will remain on listen only. Just to remind you, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then 1 on your telephone, record your name, and press the hash key. We don't have any question at the moment.
Okay, Fatima, if you hold on for a couple of minutes just to give somebody the opportunity. It's probably worthwhile me just sort of summarising in terms of the call. There's some really, really solid performance both in the sort of the safety hour attendance and close call, so please carry that on. Make sure, where possible, you conduct the safety conversations that you have planned. And if you don't have any plans, then please put those in as a priority. And congratulations in terms of the no lost time accidents this week. That's exactly what we're trying to achieve as a consequence of these. Any questions, Fatima?
No, there is no question.
Okay. Well, thank you very much indeed for joining the call. I hope you found the material useful, in particular the two discussion packs on the quality of close calls and cyber security. I recommend those to you. But have a great week, and look forward to speaking to you again in the not too distant future. Thank you.
Thank you, please. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes your conference call for today. You may now disconnect. Thank you for joining, and have a very good day.